All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. Good morning. It is May 8th, 2025, Friday. Beautiful day here on the east side. I hope it's fantastic. Wherever you may rest, beautiful day, great week, great day. Everything's great. Great, great, great. Attitude of gratitude, right? One of the first things I ever heard when I came to this program was the attitude of gratitude. And I was like, what the heck is that? Just act happy. Act like you're grateful. I never even heard the word gratitude. And someone to suggest that I should just act grateful. And I was like, okay, that actually sounded really fun. I was into it. Living the life I lived for so long, having an attitude of gratitude just seemed awesome. And, you know, sometimes I can do it, sometimes I cannot, but today I feel grateful. Problem is trying to determine what's really to be grateful for and what I'm just normally doing. And, getting up, going for a walk, exercising, taking care of myself should just be standard stuff, right? But a lot of people don't have it like that. I had a great conversation with my brother. He's been going through some challenges. You know, he's a worker, right? I mean, I'm a worker. We're all workers. But, you know, his job isn't his favorite thing to do. And he dislikes it. I would dislike it as well. I live at the beach, right? And my brother lives up in the middle of the state, up towards the city. And it's just a different world. Down here, it's all chill and everybody's relaxed. I mean, it can get, you know, have its moments, but you know, the attitude's a little bit more chill. I was talking to him this morning. He's at the Wawa gas station. He's like, there isn't a fucking place to move here. Like, the parking lot at the Wawa was so full of people, he couldn't even get gas. He's like, Jesus. And we were laughing. He's like, I'm going to have to get gas somewhere else. But, you know, I feel bad for my brother because he's just, I mean, I don't feel bad for my brother. I'm always just, you know, hoping that, you know, the cool shoe will drop for my brother. And, you know, but I shared before, he does road construction. You know, he sets up the construction and the lane closures and all that stuff. And he's always trying to find another job, right? He just always wants to get that next job to make more money, to be happier, whatever it is. And during the week, he's been talking to a guy. It's always a guy, a buddy of his, always a buddy, right? I got a buddy. And he was going to get a job working with the union. And he's like, I got this job. I got a new job. I'm going to be making more money. And it's going to be great. I was like, that's awesome, man. And, you know, like any time my brother or anybody I seem to know is going to get a job, there's always this waiting period, you know, waiting, is this going to happen? It takes me back immediately to when I was like 16 years old. I was always getting a job just in a few days, right? And my brother has a job. So, you know, this isn't like, you know, the world depends that he gets his job. But just for some reason, you know, he would be happier if he had this job. So he's waiting, and then the guy calls him and he's like, yeah, you got the job. You can transition over on Monday. And so my brother's like, sweet, right? And hangs up. And then his buddy, right, that got him the job, he's like, did you talk to the union rep? My brother's like, no, I didn't talk to no union rep. And he goes, and the guy told him, you know, go ahead and put your week, he knows, he goes, I know you want to put a week's notice in, so go ahead and put your week notice in, and then, you know, start transitioning you over on Monday. And the guy, his other buddy's like, you didn't talk to the union rep? You should have probably talked to the union rep, right? And so now my brother's like, shit. Am I supposed to put my 1 week notice in? I don't know, whatever it was, the worry. But finally, he calls this company back, and the guy won't answer him and won't return his calls. And so my brother's like, you know, fuck. He goes, they fucked me up. They, you know, they burned me or they screwed me over or whatever he says. And I feel bad for him, you know, because he was hoping. But then, right, I'm talking to him this morning, and he's like, you know, it's probably best I didn't get that job. You know, it's a union and you got to pay union wages and all this stuff. And I don't know much about the union, but you know, all of a sudden all the reasons why that job wasn't going to be a good job for him start coming out. And I go, Todd, you know, you really need to just settle in, man. It's sort of like recovery, man. We just sort of got to settle in. This is it. You know, start to find what we love about this and just start fucking enjoying it, man. Shelter, Rage Against the Machine. I remember this song, great song, and it's from the album Godzilla. And I don't know if that's a soundtrack or if that's just the name of the album, but man, what a great song. But yeah, you know, that was my advice. I've had to take that advice. And it turns out that's really the big, for me at least, the big part of recovery. You know, I hear this story. So, went to my home group meeting last night. Great meeting. I had to do some confessing and some sharing. And my buddy Matt. So there was somebody that was supposed to share. Apparently they did not show up. So my buddy Matt R. stepped in. He's got 7 months. And he shared his experience, strength, and hope. And I love Matt, man. He's doing great. I'm a little concerned sometimes he's doing too good. He's been in and out a few times. This is it. This is the last straw, right? This is the final journey into the recovery. This time it's going to work. Sometimes people that are doing so well make me nervous, but he is doing really well. Love the guy. He had a great message. That's his problem, man. He's such good, so well-spoken, and he's got it all figured out, and I do love that, and he brought up some great points, and we had some newcomers in the meeting last night, so, of course, he took it back to the first step, and you know, he shared his story was a lot like my own story, probably a lot like our own, right? A lot like a lot of us. You know, coming into the program, clearly through the character defects and the bad behavior and, you know, our life becoming unmanageable to everybody else, you know, the writing on the wall says we have a problem and we need to fix it. The problem is all that writing on the wall tends to fade away. And I know for me, and I'm not unique, but my story, my path is a little bit unique because, you know, I never tried to get sober. This wasn't a lifelong battle, right? It was a lifelong lie, right? It was a lifelong lot of tales to be told to people that maybe gave a shit. But in my mind, I really had no desire to ever get sober. I absolutely enjoyed doing what I was doing. I was actually okay with the life that I was living. You know, could I experience that stuff and have a better life, sure, that would be lovely. But the fact is, that wasn't happening. And I was pretty content, right? Unfortunately, I was pretty possessed. In that moment where I ended up in the hospital and that made that hard right turn, and then I went from not recovery to recovery just that fast. You know, I went to a rehab when I was living out in San Diego for 30 days with every intention of getting sober and working a program, and got out and got high with my girlfriend. I was in jail. I had every intention of being sober. I was working hard at it, going to a meeting every night. Got out of jail and got high that day. So, you know, whatever bullshit had ever come out of my mouth, I never wanted to get sober. And so, you know, coming into the program like I had and just sort of getting into it, you know, and I've struggled, right? And I've shared it on this podcast. I've had my struggles. Luckily for today, you know, I'm not struggling. I feel pretty awesome about where I'm at in recovery and my involvement and working with others and all that stuff. But, you know, listening to my buddy's story last night, you know, and his struggles, and him coming in and out and in and out. And I think it's a lot of the same stuff. I'm sure he probably never really intended on getting sober. I think it's just, you know, it gets bad enough and we start to address it. So, you know, he was in his story, he was sharing about how, like, it was obvious that he had problems, right? He was going to jail, losing relationships, all this stuff. But had he surrendered to the idea that he was powerless over alcohol? And no. And I didn't either. You know, I've shared about this just recently. You know, I just assumed, right, that I should be here because look at all the goddamn trouble I've caused and I've gotten myself into, and the people around me are affected, so I must be an alcoholic. But the fact is, I just make bad choices, right? I am, because once I put down the drink, what's that leave? Right? A guy that just, an asshole that just doesn't drink, right? And so, you know, and my buddy shared that with his, in his story, you know, finally, this is the time, he's finally realize that he has to surrender to the idea that he can no longer drink alcohol. And it is pretty awesome when that starts to happen because it's nice to have some closure, right? Because when I first came into the program, just like my buddy did, just like a lot of us, I think we still think that we might be able to drink again. And I didn't say it in so many words, but I did say that if I could sit on the couch and watch SportsCenter and not leave, I would still be drinking, right? Because in my mind, I'd come into the program because I was a drunk driver. I had bad behavior. I got in fights. I crashed cars, right? I went to jail. All of those things, but not because this weird thing that happens that when I put alcohol in my mouth, I can't stop. I just can't stop. It's like a fucking light switch gets flipped and then fucking, it's just all, it's full on. You know, there's somebody that's close to me in my life that I suspected has problems. We've all gone out to lunch and he'll have a shot of bourbon and a rosé. And I'm like, this motherfucker's an alcoholic, right? Who's drinking a shot of bourbon and a rosé at lunch? Alcoholic. But that's none of my business, right? It's none of my business. But I found out yesterday that there's been a couple situations, and this person we do not have any contact other than when we have contact through, you know, some of the things that we do. But when we're not doing some of those things, we have no contact. And I'm understanding why, right? Because I'm finding out that a lot of other people do have contact with this person, but they all drink, right? Which is fine. Drink up. But I found out there was some couple situations that's happened lately that people have become alarmed by the amount of drinking that this person has been doing. And it all starts making sense, right? I get it. Alcoholic. Right? But, you know, what can I do? What can I do? But it just reminds me, you know, his life, you know, hopefully is, at this point is not unmanageable to me. But it does sound like it's becoming unmanageable to somebody, and that is unfortunate, and I just know that I'll be here, hopefully, if he gets to that point, but, you know, I doubt he thinks he's an alcoholic, just like I didn't, Right? All of these things, that list of fucking bad behavior in moments, you know, that starts to build up, right? When is it officially unmanageable? I don't know. But I know that, like my buddy Matt said, and I've said, you know, it's all of these things that I feel like are the reason I'm an alcoholic. But it's hard to understand. It's the powerlessness over that drinking. And like me and many others, I came in and I just assumed that. And over time, those memories fade and the real problem does show back up. And that's that demon alcohol. And, you know, one of the things that finally, when I came back into the program and over years of being sober and working through this and trying to understand it, is I'm finally, you know, I have the understanding that I am powerless over alcohol. And I'm very, very content with my life as it is right now. Right? Whereas before I was like, well, you know, I'm going to do my best. I don't think I ever said, well, I may drink again. I always, in my mind, thought I would never drink again. But I never became content, satisfied with what I was doing, right? There always had to be something else. There must be more to this. There must be something grand to this, something that's going to take me to this self-centered guy to the next level. And it just wasn't happening, right? I think I had expectations on where I was headed due to the fact that I had stopped drinking. And I wasn't really, you know, getting an education, right? Getting a job, stop getting DUIs, finding a wife, having a child wasn't enough. I need more. I don't know what that is, but I just felt like I needed more, I guess. And then to finally drink and finally come back and realize this is it. This is what you get. And fucking be grateful. And then you start having that attitude of gratitude, that real, you know, it's like trusting God. It's like the second step. Just believe. Just believe and trust. And it's the same way with this program. And then to bring this sort of back around, it's the same way, you know, that my brother, I told him this morning, at some point you just have to be content with what you have. Because if you are not, you are not enjoying what you have. You're constantly looking over the horizon and looking back, reflecting and projecting. And we're not living in the moment. And how can you be grateful if you're not in the moment? How can I be grateful? How can my brother be grateful if he is not living in the moment? And so that's what, you know, that was my message to him. It was a suggestion. Do what you want. But stop searching, right? Find this. This is your job. This is what you do. This is the place they hired you. You know, my brother has always, his whole life, it's always, he's got something planned. He's got another job on the horizon. Once that job shows up, things will be better. And it's like recovery, man. It's always something that's going to make life better. And it's like right now is what we got, and right now is what we need to be grateful for, and right now, you know, that's a choice we make today. And that was what I told him. I said, Todd, just start. You know, this is it. You make decent money. And he's like, you're right, man. He's like, you know, and if I had gotten that job, I'd have to pay these wages, and I'd have to do this. And I'm like, well, you didn't mention any of that 3 days ago when you were thinking you were going to get the job. You know, it's interesting because we can tell ourselves a bunch of bullshit and we can ignore a bunch of bullshit trying to get to that thing on the horizon, that next thing that's supposed to save us, right? It's whether it's a job, whether it's relationships, whether it's a car, right? Whatever it is, it's like, that's, if I could get this car, my life would be better. It's like, yeah, but it gets 3 miles to the gallon. It's sort of broken down. It's going to cost you a lot of money. And, you know, you're like, I don't care. That is what is going to make it all better. And then you buy it. Or then you, you know, you end up with it. And then you're like, God damn it. Because I lie to myself. I tell myself, this isn't really a problem. I don't need to worry about that. You know, it is one of the cooler things, I think, in recovery that I, you know, on top of, right, an attitude of gratitude, But it's about staying in the moment, you know, stay in the day. And, you know, it falls back into my one prayer. Dear Lord, my shoulders are not big enough. I am turning this over to you, right? It's like, dear Lord, my day is not big enough. I'm turning this over to you. I don't have enough shoulder space. I don't have enough day space to take in all of this shit that I'm making up in my head. I can't bring in the horizons of the future and the past anymore. You know, I can only, it's like 1 minute court cases. What's the evidence? You know, we don't find the evidence here. It's, that's how it is, minute by minute for me today. What am I making up? What's real? What's reality? What is, you know, not reality? And, you know, I think, you know, I look back, it's hard to even remember how I lived and how I thought before I got sober. It's hard to remember how I lived and how I thought when I was sober, you know, 10 years ago. I don't even remember. But I know how it is today. And listen, it's easy to say this into a microphone and have a podcast and be like, yeah, this is what you all need to do. But I have to remind myself to do it. And the funny thing is that people, they don't like that. People, you know, normals, normies, the norms, they love to project. And they love to reflect. You know, it's unfortunate, but you take a person, you know, like this guy that I'm friends with, probably didn't have a lot good going on in the present, right? I know when I was back in my using days, and, you know, I had nothing good going on in the present. I mean, I had a lot of good stuff going on for a self-centered, drug-using, drinking, womanizing, you know, manipulating piece of shit. Because I was hanging out with people just like me, and we all enjoyed to share that sort of story with each other. But, you know, a person that's going to actually, you know, give a shit about people, try to play a good role in society, try to be helpful to others, try to be helpful to family, you know, all that good stuff, you know, nobody wants to hear about those stories. But back in those days, nothing was good was going on. It was always about something I was going to be, and it was always about something that I was. But when you finally do find, when I finally did find recovery, and I could start, you know, being like, wow, you know, I went for a walk. You know, all of a sudden, the simple things become, you know, pretty freaking awesome. And I can start being proud of the moment and stop reflecting on the past and the present and the future. It's a, and the problem is that, you know, every, all the rest of the normal people, they still love doing that. And so, you know, whether it's my wife or people I work with or, you know, somebody, they're like, oh my God, this is going to happen. I'm like, man, I can't worry about that shit. You know, I can't. I can only take care of right now, right? This is what I can work with. And it's so, you know, it's like we always go, like, even last night we went to Panera. We go to Panera once a week. I don't know if that's good or bad, but their food's pretty good, and the kids like it. And so we go there usually once a week. And, you know, last night we went there, and they don't serve their plates and shit on a tray, right? They just put the bowl, the plate, whatever it is, and usually we have, you know, four plates and bowls and stuff. I can't, you know, I'll try to bring two or even three, and I'm like, shit, right? Uh-oh. And it's sliding, and I'm about to lose the bread, and it's a fucking mess. I've learned one at a time. I bring one at a time because it's usually a plate with a bowl on the plate, so there's a lot of action. And but I bring one at a time. I just take the time. Be patient. I take the time and bring everybody. You know, they could get up and help me, I suppose, but they don't. I'm going to serve them, which is fine. I love them. But, you know, I take the time to one at a time. And I bring it over because I know too much and it becomes a mess. And that's how my life is. And that's what recovery has taught me. And, you know, for my brother, you know, my message to him was, man, just find some peace in what you're doing. He's like, you're right, man. You know, I make a decent job. I have a decent job. You know, I could, he always, it's always about the money for my brother. And I get that. But, you know, you have we, I, me, you, the, us, all of it. Have to become content, and if I don't make enough money, then I just need to adjust how much money I spend. You know, I can't constantly be like, only if I made that much more money, I'd be happy. It's about adjusting to the situation. And I said, you know, you just got to find some happiness. Stop searching, right? Stop trying to find, you know, more. And just find some, you know, some gratitude in what you have and enjoy it. He's like, you're right, man. He's like, I try to keep, you know, I have great hours. He has to work. He's on call 1 out of 5 weeks, every once, 1 week out of five. So he has to, you know, might have to work on a weekend or a night. He makes decent pay, right? He gets a truck. I mean, it's pretty, you know, pretty fucking awesome. And, but that's the same thing, you know, with recovery. And that's sort of what my point was, is that, you know, at some point I had to stop expecting something better. Stop thinking that one day maybe I can drink. Stop denying the fact that when I drink, there's something weird that happens that just I can't stop. You know, I have to be in reality. And the reality is I am powerless over alcohol and that my life becomes unmanageable. We admitted it. I don't think I had admitted it. I admitted that I caused a lot of problems. And I admitted I got caught a lot. But to admit that I personally was powerless over alcohol was tough. And, you know, what a fucking great journey. I mean, thank God, you know, at least for today, man, I feel awesome and very grateful. And I was grateful for my buddy Matt last night who spoke, because that was a, you know, there was newcomers. You brought it right back to the first step, which was important. And, you know, I really like him. I wish, I hope, yeah, I think he'll be fine. You know, I don't know. All right, let me see if I can read the daily reflections, and then I'm gonna go work. Gonna work today. Big fan of working. Working's been great. I mean, I did. I don't know. I guess I didn't even say it. So, trying not talking about paddling as much, but we did paddling yesterday. Did almost 12 miles in the ocean. It was fucking brutal. But what an amazing experience. Feel great today. Got up this morning, went for a nice walk, run. Got sweaty. Weather's beautiful. And I'm just super grateful and super content. And, yeah, just really appreciate the fact that, you know, sobriety, I get to find this program. And, it, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing. So, all right, daily reflection. A resting place. May 8th, all of AA's 12 steps ask us to go contrary to our natural desires. They all deflate our ego. When it comes to ego deflation, new steps are harder to take than 5. But scarcely any step is more necessary to long-time sobriety and peace of mind than this one. Yeah, 12 steps and 12 traditions. After writing down my character defects, excuse me, After writing down my character defects, I was unwilling to talk about them and decided it was time to stop carrying this burden alone. I needed to confess those defects to someone else. I had read and been told I could not stay sober unless I did. Step 5 provided me with a feeling of belonging and humility and serenity. When I practiced it in my daily living, it was important to admit my defects of character in the order presented in step 5, to God, to ourselves, and to another human being. Admitting to God first paved the way for admission to myself and to another person. As taking of the step is described, a feeling of being at one with God and my fellow man brought me to a resting place where I could prepare myself for the remaining steps toward a full and meaningful sobriety. Yeah. That's awesome. You know, last night I shared last night that, you know, the wolves had separated me from the herd, and I said I had to make an amends to the guys that I sponsor and to the group because I didn't come to the business meeting last week, right? And I had announced that I will not be going, right? I told them, and I shouldn't have done that. And so I had made an amends to my guys earlier in the week, but I made an amends to the group last night. You know, I had to share, hey, you know, the wolves separated me from the herd. I decided not to go to the business meeting because I hate it. And I didn't go, and I'm sorry, and I shouldn't have done that. And I'll try to be better. I really appreciate you letting me share, and I hope everyone has a great day. Later.